speaking on this program is Gary Cawley.
Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated under the gospel of God, already two personages mentioned, which he promised aforetime through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, who was born of the seed of David, according to the flesh, who was declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by his resurrection from the dead, even Jesus Christ our Lord. Well, in this first three verses, then, we find the Father and the Son are portrayed, and the Holy Spirit is mentioned. You go to the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, you can read verse 9, verse 11, verse 13 and 14. All of these verses refer to the Holy Spirit. Verse 16, verse 26, verse 27, the 9th chapter of the book of Romans, verse 1, the 15th chapter of the book of Romans, verse 19. We don't have time this evening to cover all of those, but each of those speak of the Holy Spirit. All right, we've got God and Christ in the first chapter. In the 8th chapter and the other chapters mentioned, the 9th and the 16th, we have the Holy Spirit mentioned. Therefore, the three personages of the Godhead are certainly taught and evidence is given in the book of Romans. Let's go on to 2 Corinthians 13:14. Paul makes an allusion there to all three in one verse of Scripture. He says, the grace of Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit. And so you have all three personages of the Godhead alluded to in 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 14. Let's hasten along and go to the second chapter of the book of Philippians. There in Philippians 2, one of the most graphic verses, I suppose, or a group of verses, to show us the real equality which Christ has with God and yet that he is separate, begins here in verse 5. It said, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, made in the likeness of men, and being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death on the cross. Wherefore God also highly exalted him, and gave him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Isn't that a graphic scripture? Beautiful scripture to show us, my friends, a powerful section depicting his divinity, depicting his deity, and yet also his humanity, showing us in his incarnation how that he took flesh, and yet also his reception when he returned to the palace of the universe 33 years later. He ascended back the starry skies to be exalted by God and sat down at his own right hand. Turn to 1 Peter 1. In 1 Peter 1 and verse 2, again, all three are mentioned. For he says, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, and the sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace be multiplied. There's God the Father, Christ the Son, and the Holy Spirit of God, all mentioned in the same verse. Go to 1 John 5. In the King James Version, verse 7 of 1 John 5 says, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. Simply showing there are three personages in that divine nature. Three personages in the Godhead. Go to Jude. The book of Jude, verse 20 and 21, mentions also the three. It mentions, if you will notice, the prayers in the Holy Spirit, keeping ourselves in God's love, and looking for the mercy of Jesus Christ unto eternal life. God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit, all mentioned in the book of Jude. And so these epistles, 21 in all, establish for us the fact, my friend, of the Trinity and the Godhead. Three personages in the Godhead. There's no quibbling in any one of them as to whether or not that's a true doctrine. There's no questioning as to whether or not there are three personages in the Godhead. They all believe it. The only ones that don't believe it are those that began in 1900 when they say they had a revelation from God that declared unto them that Jesus Christ was just one and that there weren't three personages in the Godhead. We can't leave off the book of Revelation. I wasn't sure we'd have time to get to this, and we'll just briefly touch on it. The opening words, though, of Revelation establish the fact that the Father gave the Son the revelation. And therefore, we see two personages already. And then he sent and signified this by angelic agency unto John. That's all revealed in Revelation 1 and verse 1. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ. God gave the revelation. Also in that first chapter, verse 4 and 5, there we find he portrays all three in a heavenly scene. Notice it as we state these things. Here's the Father, the one who is, who was, and who is to come. Then there's the Holy Spirit, the perfected and complete number of the seven spirits that are there mentioned. And then there is the Son, Jesus, the faithful witness, the first begotten from the dead, the prince of the earthly monarchs, the one who loved us and whose blood cleansed us so that we might be made a kingdom of priests. There's all three of them taught in the book of Revelation. There are many more references that could be given in Revelation of these sublime three. But my friends, if it were any more, it would not prove it anymore, would it? Yes, these three are one. They're one in their desires of providence. They were one in their creation of the world. And most important for us tonight, they were one in their operation of redemption. Who is the architect? Who made the plan? The Father did. God the Father schemed the plan, made the way. But what good is a way made and planned and schemed unless it is executed? Who's the executor? Jesus Christ. He's the Son. He's sent to this earth. He devolves himself of all those things that have been out his in heaven. And he lives here for 33 years. He suffers the cruelties of men, having taught us all the ways of the Father and showing us the Father. And then he went to Golgotha's brow and he suffered death upon the cross to execute the plan God had schemed and made. And what a wonderful thing it is when he says upon the cross, it's finished. His part in the scheme of redemption is done. And so what God had planned, Christ is executed. But then what good is a plan that is made and is executed and that is not revealed? And so the Holy Spirit's special part in this is to reveal the plan the Father made and that the Son executed upon the cross. And how grateful we are that those things which neither eye has seen nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man, as we noticed in the beginning, which we would not know if the Spirit had not declared them unto us. We don't know one thing about God the Holy Spirit hasn't given to us in the Word of God. Nobody else does, no matter what they pretend. There are no new revelations. There are no things, my friends, by which you can say, oh, I know more about God than anybody else. The Bible belongs to us all. And that's all we have. And it thoroughly furnishes us unto every good work. Well, here's the revelation as it is revealed by the third member of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit. And if we're saved, of course, we'll enjoy the heavenly fellowship with those sublime three throughout all of eternity. What a blessing it is to have the opportunity to be a Christian. And remember the commission. I want to say one more thing about that commission, just in closing. He said, you baptize them into the name of the Father and of the Son of the Holy Spirit. Now, some people say we must baptize in the name of Jesus only. Others say, no, the formula is baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. While the truth of the matter is, there is no formula. There is no formula at all. I never baptize someone that I do not express that what I am doing. That I am baptizing this one for the remission of his sins in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. But that is not a formula any more than saying they baptized them in the name of the Lord Jesus or they baptized them in Jesus' name. There are different things said in the conversions of men in the New Testament. There is no distinct formula that must be said for a man to be baptized, but it must be in the authority of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the three personages of the Godhead.